Daber Adonai El Moshe Lemar, Daber El Bnei Yisrael, V'yikhuli Teruma, Me'ez Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo, Tikhu Es Teruma Si. ... V'yasu Li Mikdash, V'shachanti B'socham. And Hashem said to Moshe, spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the people of Israel, that they should take for me a gift from all people who feel like giving. They should take that teruma. And make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them.
OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Teruma. Recording and first availability, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the second day of Adar, 5780, corresponding this year to February 27th. Let's right away say to Helium Kuf Lamed, and have in mind the problem that the whole world is facing, mostly in the Far East at the moment, but spreading. And I'm referring to coronavirus 19, I think it's called. And have in mind Jews that are in difficult situations, and really all people in difficult situations. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shema v'koli tihyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmoria Adonai miya amod ki imecha haslicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim l'boker shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael ha-netunim batzara v'ashivya ha-omedim mebein bayam uvein bayabasha ha-makom yirachem alayhem v'yotzieim mitzara l'yirvacha u'miafela l'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen.
Mishem, Mishem, Mishenech Nasada, Marvin, Marvin, Marvin Bismcha, Mishem, Mishem, Mishenech Nasada, Marvin, Marvin, Marvin Bismcha, whoa, Mishenech Nasada, whoa, Marvin Bismcha, whoa, Mishenech Nasada, Marvin Bismcha, Mishem, Mishem, Mishenech Nasada, Marvin, Marvin, Marvin Bismcha, Mishem, Mishem, Mishenech Nasada, Marvin, Marvin, Marvin Bismcha, whoa, Mishenech Nasada, whoa, Marvin Bismcha, whoa, Mishenech Nasada, whoa, Marvin Bismcha, Mishem, Mishem, Mishenech Nasada, Marvin, Marvin, Marvin Bismcha, Mishem, Mishem, Mishenech Nasada, Marvin, Marvin, Marvin Bismcha, whoa. Marvin,
That was Lenny Solomon of Schlockrock reminding us that Adar has begun. Rosh Chodesh was yesterday and the day before. Today is the second of Adar. And that means that in 12 days it's Purim for the rest of the world, and in 13 days it is Purim in Yerushalayim and other krachim. By the way, or not by the way, you can check out Schlockrock website, schlockrock.com, and you'll find many, many things to interest you and entertain you. Unlike Parshat Mishpatim, with its 53 mitzvot of all different kinds, mostly related to civil law, but many other topics as well, Shabbat, Shemitah, Basar B'Cholov, Parshat Truma is a single-focus parsha. It is about building the Mishkan in fulfillment of the mitzvah of V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. And the first form of that fulfillment was the temporary structure called the Mishkan. Later, many years later, it became the Beit HaMikdash. To be a little specific on that, the Mishkan, as described in the Torah, in Parshat Truma, continuing into Tetzaveh, a little bit in Ki Tisa, more in Vayakhel and Pekudeh, that Mishkan functioned for 40 years in the wilderness, actually 39 years, because it was only put into operation in the second year. And the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael, in a location called Gilgal, the years of conquest and settlement. That means for the first 53 years of the Mikdash, V'asu li Mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham, the first 53 years you had the structure and accoutrements according to the description in Parshat Truma. After that, after conquest and settling of the land, the Mishkan was established in Shiloh, and the walls, the gold-covered wooden wall sections, were replaced by stone structure. These krashim of the Mikdash were not used and were buried. The three coverings were the same, as were the furnishings inside the Mishkan. The dimensions, obviously, were also the same. The Mishkan stood in Shiloh for 369 years. That's a long time. After Eli HaKohen died, the Mishkan was set up in Nov, where it stood for 13 years, and then, after Shmuel HaNavi's death, in Gibeon for 44 years. If you've been counting, that's a total of 480 years from the Exodus until the first Beit HaMikdash was begun to be built. It took 7 years to finish the first Beit HaMikdash, and the dimensions of the Beit HaMikdash were very different from those of the Mishkan. And then the first Beit HaMikdash lasted 410 years following a 70-year period of exile. The second Beit HaMikdash got into the swing of things and lasted for 420 years. And the next Beit HaMikdash is the one that we daven for every day, and we hope that we will realize that prayer and that dream and that longing and that hope speedily in our time. So, as I said, Parshat Truma is a single-focused sedra based on V'asu li Mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. It has
many, many, many commands of how to make the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash and the walls and the coverings. But according to the Rambam, and most people follow it pretty much all the way, I'll give you the one exception in a moment, the Rambam says that we will not count every single command of make the aron and make the menorah and make the shulchan and plate this with gold and put a decorative border on this and put rings on that. All of those commands are subsumed under the broad mitzvah, let's call it a super mitzvah, of v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. And that's the policy, so to speak, of the Rambam. The Ramban has one deviation from that, and he said the command to build the Aron, the Ark, the Holy Ark, is counted separately among the 613 mitzvot. The Rambam does not agree with that, although the Rambam came first, so the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. Now, aside from this broad command to make the mikdash, there happen to be two other mitzvot in Parshat Teruma, and it's sort of a little interesting, I was going to say strange, but it's not, it's a little interesting, that one prohibition that's included in the entire description of the construction of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan, one prohibition is that after the carrying rods are inserted into the rings that were welded onto the Aron, they may not ever be removed. The Aron was in a constant, mobile, on-call kind of position, and the rings were not removed, and that prohibition is counted separately among the 613. So the command to make the Aron and to make it out of acacia wood and to plate it with gold, and these dimensions are to be followed, and the decorative border and the lid and the kruvim from the lid and the rings on the side and putting in the poles, all of that is part of the Asuli Mikdash. Except the prohibition of removing those carrying poles from the Aron, that is its own separate mitzvah. So I find that interesting, and I really don't know how to explain it, except that being a prohibition, it's different from do this, do this, do this, do this, and possibly as an emphasis on the need to keep those poles where they are and not to remove them, we count that as a separate mitzvah. One other mitzvah in Parshat Truma is to make the Lechem HaPanim to be put on the Shulchan. The Lechem HaPanim, translated into English as showbreads, were made every Friday, unless Friday was Yom Tov, in which case it was made Thursday. They were placed onto the shulchan, the table, 12 of them, on the shelves that were built on the shulchan. And they were placed there on Shabbat, and they were to be to remain there for the entire week following, until the following Shabbat, when a new batch was replaced them. The one-week-old Lechem HaPanim was distributed among the Kohanim on duty at the time, and a miracle is recorded that it tasted fresh, as if it hadn't been sitting around for a week. So this was a very prized gift to the Kohanim, And one assumes that most Kohanim valued it as such. I want to put my words into a certain framework, and I will retell a story that I have told in the past, possibly in different sedras, but it's something that weighs on my mind. My grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, had a friend, a lawyer, who he used to argue about religion. My father, Zichrono Livracha, inherited that friend and continued arguing about Torah Judaism. And on several visits to my father's office, I became a third-generation arguer with this fellow Jew who had a very, very different perception of what Judaism is. He said to me more than once during our chats, our discussions, that mitzvot are important for me, meaning he said to you, but he meant me, and not for him. Why? Because mitzvot are meant to make a person, bring a person closer to God. And he claimed that he succeeded in developing a very close personal relationship with God without the need for mitzvot. Now, I argued with him many times on that topic, trying to convince him that mitzvot were not just means to achieve an end of closeness to God and spirituality, but they were goals in and of themselves, and they were not subject to shortcutting and circumventing, even if you think you could reach the goal in a different way. All right, that's the background. There's more to say about him, but I won't at this point. What I will say is that there are people who see the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, as something that belongs to once upon a time, a long time ago, and somehow we've become more sophisticated, possibly out of the necessity created by the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and we have achieved certain things that obviate the necessity of the Beit HaMikdash. There's more to that, but it's wrong, because the Beit HaMikdash is one of the mitzvot in the Torah. The Beit HaMikdash is a very important focus of Jewish life. In its absence, the reminders of the Beit HaMikdash and many prayers that we say and other things that we do have kept the Beit HaMikdash alive. But there is no substitute in the long run for the Beit HaMikdash itself. So let's take as an example the song, as I've used in the past, Bilavavi. Bilavavi Mishkan Evne, in my heart, I will build a Mishkan. And in that Mishkan, I will offer, I'm sort of shortening the whole thing, I will offer my soul as a korban to God. A very nice sentiment, a very important thing to do, to bring the concept of Mishkan, the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash, into one's heart. But that's not meant as a substitute for the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash was not just a parable to get people to internalize the concept. It was supposed to go hand in hand. Now, the track record of our predecessors, as far as Beit HaMikdash is concerned, was not so great. You look in Tanakh at the widespread idolatry at the time, and the hollowness of offerings in the Beit HaMikdash, which was criticized by God via many prophets through many generations. And one thinks sometimes, I don't know if I'm saying this the right way, and I hope that listeners won't misunderstand me. There was a perception of, well, if there's korbanot that God doesn't want because there's no feeling to them, then I will substitute my feeling and my deep, heartfelt feelings and emotions to achieve that which korbanot and the Beit HaMikdash failed to achieve because people didn't do it the right way. I believe very strongly that you need them both. And I don't want to answer the question, well, which one do you think is better? The fact of the matter is we've been tested for many, many hundreds of years without a Beit HaMikdash to keep the concept of Mishkan and Mikdash alive and Beit HaMikdash. And to a certain extent, many Jews have succeeded in that. But this is all a holding pattern to the final redemption, when the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt and the service of the Beit HaMikdash will be restored, and hopefully, prayerfully, the feelings that were missing in many periods in the past will be genuine and fulfilling, and the partnership between the Mishkan in one's heart and the Beit HaMikdash, and the partnership between the person's soul and the korbanot of the Beit HaMikdash will finally become in sync in a proper and beneficial way to everybody. Now, this might sound a little funny, but I like what I just said. I hope that I said it the way I think I said it, and I hope that it hit a resonant chord in some of the listeners, in most of the listeners, if not all of the listeners. But this is something that could be said about all mitzvot, and this fellow that I described myself as being a third-generation arguer with used to use tefillin as an example. Tefillin, interesting, it's related to Beit HaMikdash by the word bayit. And that's what the housings are called. And he would say the same thing about that. He would say, tefillin are meant to stimulate feelings in you of closeness with God, but I have achieved that through my meditation and my jogging and my even listening to Mishnah on cassette tape. I tried to convince him how wrong he was, because none of our mitzvot are, as I said before, to be circumvented and to have a shortcut to the goal, because the goal includes doing the mitzvot, and not just until you get to that point of understanding and feeling. It continues and continues. In fact, if a person succeeds in developing a closeness to God by wearing tefillin and doing other mitzvot, then when he continues to wear tefillin, they will take on a much more significant and deeper feeling, as will the keeping of Shabbat and the keeping of Kashrut and the keeping of everything else. So mitzvot are there to stay. And no matter how long it's been since we were able to do certain mitzvot, it should not diminish, but only increase our longing for the restoration of these mitzvot. To switch gears a little and get back to the Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan in the Mishkan. I've written about this, but I want to speak about it as well, and even sing a little about it. There is one of the Zmirot of Shabbat Day, Ki Yeshmera Shabbat. Ki Yeshmera Shabbat, Kel Yeshmereini. One of the stanzas is Rosham Bedat HaKel Chokel Siganov. It is inscribed, it is written in the law of God, that's the Torah, a command to his Kohanim. Literally, Siganav means his deputies, but it's the Kohanim. What was that command? Bo, la'aroch lechem panim b'fanav, on Shabbat, to set out the showbreads before God in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash. The stanza continues, al kain, lehitanot bo, al pi nivonav asur. Therefore, it is forbidden by rabbinic decree to fast on Shabbat. Levad miyom kippur avoni, except for Yom Kippur, if that falls on Shabbat. What does that mean? It means that eating is not just, I need to eat to keep up my strength, I need to eat because I'm hungry or whatever. And the act of eating is one of the most natural things of most beings on earth. All beings on earth. And yet for us, there is a holiness to eating as demonstrated or manifested by the Lechem HaPanim and the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, because God built in to the Seder Avodah, the order of service in the Mikdash, the placing of the baking and then the placing of those showbreads on the Shulchan, he's making a statement to us that food is more than stuffing your face. That food has a holy aspect to it. And from that, Chazal told us we're not allowed to fast on Shabbat because the eating on Shabbat is not just the physical act, but there's an act of Kedusha there, of holiness. And Chazal, our sages, have taken the ball, so to speak, and run with it, because many other things from the Torah, as well as from rabbinic law, emphasize and focus our attention towards the spiritual dimension of eating. This includes the laws of Kashrut, it includes the making of brachot before and after we eat. It includes proper behavior in one's eating. I used to think that only mothers would say, don't talk with your mouth full. But it happens to be a halacha. It's considered a dangerous thing to talk when you have food in your mouth, because if you swallow while you're talking, the food might go down into the trachea rather than the esophagus, and many other things that sound like mother's things to say are part of halacha. And all of this is meant, and here I go again with that original thought, is meant to make me not look at food only in a physical way, but to appreciate it, never take it for granted, as a gift from God, and the holiness that grows from it. Again, I say, even when a person reaches that point, that he understands the holiness of these things, he doesn't stop doing them. He doesn't stop keeping kosher. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, because he reaches a closeness with God through the laws of kashrut. I didn't say that to that guy, but maybe I should have. I did try to emphasize how ridiculous his perspective was. And as long as I mentioned him, even though I said I wouldn't continue, I'll tell you the last time I ever spoke to him. I said, let me change tracks. You claim to have reached a very close relationship with God, more so than all the rest of the Jews who wear tefillin and keep Shabbat and all the other things. How do you transmit this to your children? He had 5 children, and I asked him how they are supposed to develop a closeness with God. He gave me an answer that was the most un-Jewish answer you could give, and I think I told him that. And as I said, this was the last time I spoke to him. He said, I worked hard on getting where I am. They'll have to take care of themselves. Very contrary to the concept of Vishinantam Livanecha and Shema Bini Musaravicha V'al Titosh Torat Imecha and many other things as well. As important as fasting on Yom Kippur is, and fasting in general and what it's supposed to create in the person, or engender in the person, eating is also that way. In fact, we eat more often than we fast, and eating should be a means of rising in spirituality, and not just give our bodies fuel for when we do things like fasting. The best example of that is coming up next week, after next week. And that's Ta'anit Esther, followed by Purim. One of the reasons, I'll talk more about this next week in Yirtzeh Hashem, but one of the reasons that we fast on Ta'anit Esther is to atone for eating and drinking on at the parties of Ahasuerus, when he was flaunting his plundering of the Beit HaMikdash, actually his stealing of the plunder of the Beit HaMikdash, and we should not have been at those meals and certainly not have rejoiced in them with eating and drinking. As an atonement for that, we abstain from eating and drinking on Erev Purim. But then comes Purim. And on Purim, we have a mitzvah to have a special meal, and we have the sending of gifts of foods to one another, and we have the, don't want to call it a mitzvah, the practice of imbibing a little bit more than usual in wine and whatever else, and certainly not to get drunk, but that, again, I'll talk about more next week probably. But the mitzvah of eating and drinking on Purim also serves as an atonement for the improper eating and drinking of the Jews in the time of Ahasuerus. So there are two ways of seeking atonement. One is fasting, and one is eating l'shem mitzvah in a proper manner. And that's sort of is what I've been saying from before. Let me give you a little background here to what's going on. I recently received a, I don't know how to call it, an email about the use of copyrighted music on my show. So basically, I've stopped doing that. And even though I don't think there's anything wrong with it, especially that this is totally non-commercial, but that was what the powers that be have now asked me to do. That's why I sang Ki Eshmerah Shabbat instead of playing it. And that's why the opening music of the show was from a non-copyrighted source. And that's why I've been playing Lenny Solomon and Schlock Rock, because I have written permission from Lenny to use his music on this show, for which I gratefully thank him. I am in the process of getting permission from some other people, and hopefully the music will, the range of music will expand, but that's the story at the moment. Okay, back to the Seder. The opening psukim, the ones that were skipped over in the dot, 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 in the when I was reading from the Torah. And that, by the way, is not copyrighted, so you can use that on your own. Just a joke. After the first psukim that commanded the gathering of materials according to what one's heart decides, the Torah continues, Vizot ha-teruma, and these are the gifts which you shall take from them, zahav, v'chesef, unechoshet, gold, and silver, and copper, or bronze. And then it continues, Tchelet v'argaman v'tolat shani v'sheish v'izim, various fabrics. But let me go back to Zahav v'chesef u'nechoshet. Three precious metals, where gold and copper were donated in whatever quantities a person was moved to give. The silver, even though here it seems to be the same as gold and copper, the silver was mostly required, specifically a half shekel from everybody. When you wanted to give more, the answer was no. When you wanted to give less, the answer was also no. He'ashir lo yarbev, hadal lo yamit. We read this in the Maftir last week, and we'll read it again in a couple of weeks in the beginning of Parshat Ki Tisa. So the silver, which was used mostly for the foundation sockets of the wall boards of the Mishkan, in other words, the foundation of the Mishkan, that came from an equal contribution from every individual. Any further voluntary donation of silver was used in the trim of certain boards, was used for some of the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash, but the main thing, the main use of that silver came from the collection of the silver half shekel. Gold, whatever you wanted to give, so too with copper. Now, this translates into our own society by certain things that everybody contributes equally to, and a wealthy person is not encouraged to give more. Like membership. Membership in a shul or membership in a Jewish organization. There's a membership fee. It's usually not on a sliding scale of any sort. And everyone is expected to have an equal contribution, therefore an equal rights. I don't know if that's the best word, in the functioning of the organization. Does a shul need extra donations? Absolutely. Person wants to donate a Sefer Torah. Person wants to donate money for the purchase of a new shulchan or whatever. That's generously and graciously accepted. But the basic of the membership, let's say, was an equal share by everybody. Go back to the Beit HaMikdash, and we see this going back to some big piece that I said before. I was thinking in terms of a Beit Knesset, a shul, which is known as a Mikdash Ma'at, a junior Beit HaMikdash. That is not meant to be our exchange for the Beit HaMikdash. It is meant to elevate the sanctity of a shul in which people gather to daven to a level of being like a Beit HaMikdash. But it's not instead of the Beit HaMikdash. Prayer is not instead of avoda in the Beit HaMikdash. Even though the Navi says, Unshalma farim svatenu, that our lips fill the role of our oxen, they're not instead of korbanot. Prayer started way back with the avot and continued throughout the generations before the Mishkan and during the tenure of the Mishkan and during the tenure of the Beit HaMikdash and during the exile and during the tenure of the next Beit HaMikdash and all the years since. Prayer is always there. It takes on a double duty when we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, in the form of some of the texts that we say, in the form of the timing of the different prayers during the day. That's the connection to the Mikdash, but it's not instead. People should never think that when there's a Beit HaMikdash, we just go there and bow, and we don't daven. And only when there's no Beit HaMikdash, then we have no choice but to daven. Not like that at all. Prayer is its own special thing, and it always was, and it always will be. I think on that note, I will wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, so not just a Chodesh Tov, but a Chodesh Sameach, and Lehishtameach. I have to apologize. I'm sure you noticed a break in what's going on. I found a piece that belonged at the end that had been recorded by accident earlier than the end, and I took it out and moved it, but I think I didn't get everything. So if I seem to have stopped in the middle of a sentence, I don't know how to fix that at the moment. So I will again say, have a good one, and enjoy one more track from Lenny Solomon. With that half shekel. The half shekel was used to purchase communal offerings in the Beit HaMikdash. And a person was not allowed to give more, and not just in money. I found it a very interesting ruling that the person who guarded a barley field during Shemitah year in order to have available for the Kohanim to cut the barley on the first night following Yom Tov of Pesach, he got a salary for his job. He couldn't volunteer. Because if he volunteered, even if he didn't need the salary, he would be able to say, or people would say, he has more of a share in this mitzvah than anyone else. He gave his half shekel, and he donated his time guarding. There's plenty of room to donate extra things, as much as your heart will, but not the basic foundation. And that brings me back to the Adanim, the foundation stone sockets of the Mishkan, the silver. And it's an important point for how Judaism functions. Lahavdil. You know what? I'm not even going to tell it to you. You figure out what I was trying to say, but I decided not to.
Bekoach gedulat yimimcha Tatir tzirura, tatir tzirura Kabel rinat, rinat amechaz Achveinu tareinu nora Ana bekoach gedulat yimimcha Tatir tzirura, tatir tzirura Kabel rinat, rinat amechaz Achveinu tareinu nora Did it and did it and did it up, did it and did it and did it up, did it and nine 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 nine. Did it and did it and did it up, did it and did it and did it up, did it and nine nine nine. Tatir tzirura, tatir tzirura Kabel rinat, rinat amechaz Achveinu tareinu nora Ana bekoach gedulat yimimcha Tatir tzirura, tatir tzirura Kabel rinat, rinat amechaz Achveinu tareinu nora Did it nine, did it nine, nine, did it up, did it nine, did it nine, nine, did it up, did it nine, 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 did it nine, did it nine, nine, did it up, did it nine, did it nine, nine, did it up, did it nine, 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 nine,
Did it, I'm, 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 did it, I'm